Let's pray. As we meditate on your word tonight, please fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we may put our trust in Christ Jesus and be welcomed by him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll start tonight with a quote from Lutheran scholar Arthur Just's commentary on Luke concerning the criminal on the cross. This man's catechesis came through watching the passion of Jesus. The simple words of absolution that Jesus spoke over his enemies, and the cruel mocking of the suffering righteous Messiah. In other words, the criminal on the cross saw Jesus' innocent suffering. He heard Jesus' words of grace and mercy from the cross, and he was catechized. He learned who Jesus was. And from this criminal on the cross, we have the first person in the gospel to embrace Jesus as the one who saves others. It's the criminal who makes the first announcement of Jesus' innocence by a believer. And it's the criminal who calls on the name of the Lord and is saved. So let's listen to this part of tonight's gospel reading with the two criminals, and in particular the one who has faith in Christ. In fact, let us be encouraged by this brother in Christ who in his just suffering turned to Jesus and was saved by him. From the gospel, one of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Now, in the Gospel of Luke, this is the culminating mockery of Jesus as he's dying on the cross. But you may have noticed from the reading, it started with those of higher status, with the leaders. It's the leaders who begin the mockery. The people stood by, it says, while the leaders mocked Jesus. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one. In the kingdom of the world, with things how they are in our world, power is exercised in its naked ugliness when those who experience comfort and ease declare the innocent to be worthy of death and mock those who believe in goodness and truth and beauty. It is those who lead who set the tone, who provide the words, and who give the worldview to their underlings. And so after the leaders of the people mock Jesus, the soldiers who follow orders, they follow suit. The soldiers, it says, mocked Jesus. "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." They show their lack of status, the soldiers, as they parrot those above them. But then we reach the lowest point, the mockery made by a criminal condemned to death, receiving the just reward of his crime. He dies next to Jesus, but he says, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But Jesus finds an ally in an unlikely place, with the other criminal being crucified. This is what the text says. "But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" The criminals are suffering the bodily reward for their evil. But at least one of them knows that there is someone more to be feared than those who can kill the body, more to be feared even than death itself. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus said these words, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body and after that can do nothing more. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing that no earthly power has the final say over us, but that we are accountable to God. This is the first step on the journey to seeing what is in front of our eyes, the journey to wisdom. And for one of the criminals, this means seeing not only the justice of their own punishment, but also the fact that Jesus is suffering as an innocent man. Jesus has withstood the mockery, and he has responded mercifully and graciously to those who crucified him. He has prayed, as we heard earlier, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It is these actions and words from the cross that open the criminal's eyes to see that Jesus belongs to a different order of existence, that Jesus has a kingdom that is not of this world. This world is a place where death reigns as king. But in Jesus' kingdom there is life with God, and there God's justice and mercy reign. And this leads the criminal, as he's dying on the cross, to call out to Jesus and remember that Jesus' name means the Lord saves. This leads the criminal to call out on Jesus in faith. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This language of remembrance is reminiscent of Psalm 25, where we read these words: "Be mindful of your mercy. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." This same prayer of asking to be remembered, addressed to the Lord God in the psalm, is now addressed by a condemned criminal to the human being, Jesus, to the one who in his innocent suffering and death shows us who God is and how God deals with those who turn in trust to him. No matter how unworthy they may be, according to the measure of strict justice. And so Jesus says to the man, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now this word paradise is rarely used in the Bible. And in fact, this is the only time that word is used in the Gospels. When we hear the word as Christian people who know the scriptures, we are reminded of the Garden of Eden, where God placed our first parents in the days of their innocence before they fell into sin. Because of sin, our first parents and we following them have been excluded from this paradise. And this is what we read in Genesis 3. "Then the Lord God said, 'See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove them out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way of the tree of life." Sin leads to exclusion from the garden that God has created. But in today's reading and in the words of our Lord Jesus, we hear the way back home to a true home where we as human beings can live in innocence rather than under the condemnation which is part of the order of this world. The true paradise is where Jesus is, the one who suffered as an innocent man, the one who did not repay mockery with mockery, but who prayed for those who persecuted him, Our true home and paradise is with Jesus, who went to the cross to be a ransom for many. With him is paradise. With him is our restoration as human beings to live in the life-giving presence of God. So tonight, let's thank God for our brother, the criminal on the cross, who gave us an example of faith in Jesus. And let us, with him, call out to Jesus to remember us, since our Lord Jesus lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.